What's wrong? Don't like that sound? Don't like the sound of someone masticating in your ear?
I went to Catholic school. I don't need that.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby.
And welcome to the show, Ian Boothby. Oh, that's, we've done 193 episodes, and really, I think I've done that four or five times. So, you know what? I'm just going to stop it now. I'm going to cut it off at the pass. I'm going to say no more repeating myself. No more repeating myself. And I will repeat that one more time. No more repeating myself.
So what you're saying is we're going to do a completely unique show.
This show will be so unique. It will be unlike every other show we've done.
Okay, I was just about to ask you what your favorite ballet was, but we've talked about ballet on the show. What is something we have not talked about on the show? This is tricky.
Yeah, that would be tricky. My favorite ballet? Are you seriously asking me that?
No, because you've told me your favorite ballet. You went to see a ballet and you really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that's my favorite, but okay.
Okay. All right, what's your favorite ballet? Let's do that.
That's a good question. One I like the music a lot in would be Romeo and Juliet, which is Prokofiev, mm-hmm. whom I really like. And so that the music in that ballet, which I'm more interested in than the dancing, actually. I like the dancing, but the music, of course, is what sells it for me. And I really like the music in that nice. Particular one. When I was a teenager, I was watching on PBS, the public broadcasting system, I guess, stations.
Oh, okay.
In the States.
So it wasn't a network that was just P and BS.
No, it was okay. PBS.
All right.
It was just PBS. Yes, thank you. And I was watching.
I liked watching the PB&J station.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, Stacey. All they do is make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah,
all day long. It's regular shows. It's regular shows that you'd see on PBS.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But all the problems are solved. Like it's like a Miss Marple type thing.
Okay.
But then what she'll do is she'll look at someone's mouth and see what they've been eating. Mm-hmm. Like, and if it's the appropriate sandwich, she'll know they're guilty of murder.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so they were showing a special thing. There was like a contest. It was a piano playing, like a bunch of people, classical students of classical piano were playing like in a competition. And one of them played this Prokofiev piece. And I was just like, that is amazing. And so ever since then, I've loved Prokofiev.
Nice. I've never heard of that before.
You never heard Sergei Prokofiev?
Yeah. Nope, not at all.
Kind of the beginning of the 20th century. So sort of modern, but still with a foot in the past. So, but quite interesting.
Now,
actually.
Let me ask you this. If you were to do a podcast about them, mm-hmm. what would the podcast be called?
A Prokofiev one?
Yeah.
How about, well, that's a good question. I don't mean to think here. I have to
this
think
of it. This has been my second good question in about 3 minutes time. I think that's the unique thing is all the compliments this guy's throwing at me today.
Yeah, that's true. And also the fact that I'm stalling to try and think of a Prokofiev thing.
Perfectly Prokofiev?
Yeah. I don't know. What's your favorite
potentially
ballet? Have you been to the ballet?
Only when I'm forced.
But have you been to the ballet then?
Do you count like a Nutcracker and a Swan Lake?
Or sure, is yeah. Basic? Swan Lake's a really good one, I think. Nutcracker is okay.
Yeah.
But Swan Lake is... Nutcracker is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't like them.
You don't like ballet?
No, not really, no. I don't quite get it. I've seen opera too, and it's like, oh...
I've never been to an opera, and I like opera a lot. Like, I like the music a lot.
You'd probably like going to one then.
But I've never been to one. I was at one recently, in that I was at Mission Impossible 5, and they Turandot is in the film.
So. Oh, okay.
But what happened during
the
film...
What I thought you were going to say... No, sorry, I wanted to interrupt you because I think what I'm going to say is more interesting.
Okay, go ahead.
No, occasionally at the movie theater, they will have opera, in one of the... I thought you were going to... You were walking by a theater and just like on the way to the bathroom and just went, I'm going to pop in and watch the opera on this for a while and then take off. That actually is not a bad way to watch an opera. It's really good sound.
It probably is, actually. And
so you're watching Mission Impossible.
I was watching Mission Impossible and I heard, in a moment of silence, I heard someone say, David Dedrick. I was like, what the hell? And I was looking around. There's no one... anywhere around. So I was watching the thing. And then I hear this, a little bit later, I hear this, boop, 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 boop. Like, what's that noise? Sounds like a phone's doing something. That's weird. What? And then I was like, is it mine? And I was like feeling it, but I couldn't. And then my two helpful daughters are like, Dad, it's your phone. Dad, it's your phone. You know, so I take it out of my pocket. I'm looking at it. The screen's totally black.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it's not my phone. I just put it there. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm just going to put it here on my lap. It's totally black. There's nothing. Then I hear some noise coming out of it. I'm like, oh my God. And then I flicked, and I had somehow pocket dialed my parents' house. And my brother had answered the phone, and he was like yelling at me through the thing. He was beeping the buttons. And what was so most terrible is that near the beginning of the film, behind me, this lady's phone had rung.
Yeah.
And I had given her like the old shaking my head. Can't believe it. People not turning off their phone before the... And I turned off my phone.
Yeah, what's your phone plan? I got the Telus Karma plan.
That's about it. And it just, it was a bad karma plan. And the thing was, is the reason it happened is because I had turned off the sound on my phone.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten to turn off the screen. And so when I slipped it back in my pocket, it turned on the phone. And then while it was sitting there in my pocket, it somehow dialed my parents' number, which is crazy because I do not call my parents.
No. Unless you're watching a movie.
At least that's what my mom says.
They won't go to, they won't go to a movie with you. So you always, when you're watching a movie, you dial them. You let them listen to the film.
To the opera.
And they can just enjoy it. They sit back and they go like, oh, Tom Cruise, good luck.
So my brother called me back and he's like, I don't know what opera you were at, but blah, blah, blah. And nice. Of course, the rude thing is you look at it and you go, oh my God, it's on. Click, just turn it off. In your pocket. You don't go, sorry, I'm at the movie theater. Click, just turn it off.
Dad.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad.
Oh, Father.
The thing is you make them sound like they're mad, but they're right. So you can't, like my saying Dad, they're right. They're like,
you can't turn and go, you wouldn't exist without me. Shut up.
That's right. Well, I say that all the time.
Oh, that's tough but fair. So you went to see Mission Impossible.
Truth is truth, man.
Now we're on Mission Impossible 5.
Yes.
Now, so it's not impossible. So if they've had five impossible missions, it's basically, it's
well, they've had more than that because there's a TV show as well.
Right.
Because the TV show, according to the first film, is part of the chronology, right?
Sure, okay. But let's go with Tom Cruise and the five films. So every one of them is something impossible, right? But it's not even improbable anymore. He does it every time. It's fine. He's okay.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Hanging off a plane?
Right. I mean, they never did that on the TV show. Oh, never. Hanging off a plane.
No.
Crazy.
It feels a little desperate though.
Yeah, you feel like it's okay. You don't have to
do that for us. Yeah.
That's fine. We appreciate that you can take your shirt off at your age.
Yeah.
You know, you're making us at your age look bad. Let's not fool anybody. That's,
speak for yourself.
When we see you working your way up the pole,
that
pole shimmy.
That made me mad.
Did it?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know, I'm just jealous that he could do that. Like, I would love to be able to, I would like, my thing I
you
admire.
You like to be tied to a pole and be able to shimmy it up?
Well, the thing I admire about, gymnasts or people like slapstick comedians like Buster Keaton is that body control. Mm-hmm. And I really admire that. The thing I know, though, is that I'm 6'2", mm-hmm. and they're like 5'5", or 5'4", or whatever. Yeah. So they're these
centers of gravity.
Little compact guys that can run really fast. And, they have that athletic ability that comes from, that kind of, tiny.
They're like a little dung beetle. They can bounce around.
I was going to say a coiled spring, but okay, if you prefer dung beetle is better, if you think that's a better analogy, I'll go with that.
June bug. Let's go with that. June bug jumping around, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we were talking about I enjoyed the film. I enjoyed Mission Impossible 5 quite a bit.
Rank your Mission Impossibles. Go. Rank them.
Number 2's worst.
Okay, so what's your best?
I like number 1, maybe number 4, number 3, number 5, number 4.
For me, it's number 4, number 5. Number 3, number 1, number 2.
But you haven't watched number 1 in a while, so.
No, I got to rewatch that one.
I like that one. I think it's a very...
I know it's better than number 2, though.
I can understand why people have trouble with number 1.
Really? Well, maybe you're not drinking enough water. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. I can understand why people have trouble with Mission Impossible 1.
Maybe you're straining too hard.
It's a problem. For me, it's a performance problem.
Yeah.
I just get nervous around other people.
Are you getting like a wide spray? Is that your problem?
No. I just get nervous. Other people come in and I just have trouble. I just have to pretend I'm peed and then leave.
Right.
I just make a sound effect like, psh.
Yeah. We shouldn't be doing that in the movie theater anyway.
That's a good point.
Dad, your phone and you're peeing.
I've got a cup. Yeah. I just feel like people were disappointed by that film because they love the show or they remember the show or they thought they loved the show. And then when they see the film kind of turns all that around.
Well, it's like, okay, so you like Get Smart. You're a big fan of Get Smart. Then you go to see Get Smart, the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's say Steve Carell was not playing Max Smart. He's playing a new agent.
Yeah.
But he's being trained by Maxwell Smart.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you find out Maxwell Smart is a pedophile. And he's got to bust him. Yeah. If you're a fan of Get Smart,
yeah.
That's not your favorite part of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
But I think enough people have forgotten the TV show. Mm-hmm. And when you think Mission Impossible, you now think Tom Cruise, so it's okay and it's fine. But it was a choice that you're kind of like, really? We're doing that?
I do remember the time feeling that way about it. It wasn't until I saw it. And this has been the way with a lot of those Mission Impossible films. It's not until I've watched them again and be able to analyze them, just kind of sit in and watch it at a, just not an entertainment level, but kind of at a, you know, looking at the subtext or looking at the direction and stuff like that, then I can appreciate them more. And that for sure, number one, would go into there. When I first saw it in the theater, I was like, what the hell? Like,
and I'm far from the first person to say this, but Tom Cruise is a different dude in every one of them. He is a different personality.
I wouldn't say he's a different personality. I wouldn't say he's a different person, but I would say that it's a film series where you get to see the character age.
Okay. Well, your first Tom Cruise is Johnny Weisenheimer. He's a Weisenheimer. Like that guy.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. You watch it again. He's cracking jokes. He's a wisecracking kind of guy. Second one, he's a guy who's like, oh, he's very depressed. And he's climbing the mountains and he's falling. He's like, oh, he's almost got a death wish.
Yeah.
And then the third one, he's a family guy. He's just trying to be a family guy. Trying to be a family guy. Should I tell my wife about the truth? I don't know. It's kind of a Schwarzenegger True Lies problem. He's got, you know, I got to tell her about that.
Sure.
Fourth one.
Sure, borrows. It does borrow from that.
Fourth one, he's kind of bummed a little bit. Probably something bad happened. We don't know what happened to the wife. He's a kind of a loosey-goosey guy in that one. And in this one, he's almost like a silent Sam through the whole thing. He doesn't talk at all in this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's different. Different from the first film.
Yeah. Where I don't remember him being a Weisenheimer.
I would say watch it again.
But you have not seen it for a while, I'm sure, either.
I will watch it very shortly. We can discuss that.
Then we can discuss it, yeah. No, I mean, I like 4 a lot. I like 4. I like the setup it has in it. I like the fact that it... You know, it sets up with an efficient mission, you know, and then that they're betrayed. And then I like that everything stops working for them and it becomes a sort of desperate thing. 3 has that too, where you get a very efficient beginning of the film. And then the last part of it is kind of a, you know, desperate scramble to the end.
Well, the gag normally is, okay, here's what we got to do. We got to do these 5 things to complete this impossible mission.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Number 2 just broke. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, there's a way of getting around that, and 4 and 5 just exploded. Okay, do it with just 1 and 3.
Yeah.
Okay, and you got to figure it out.
Yeah, not everyone has that, but that's definitely a part of the fourth one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the plans never go according to plan.
Well, 3, yeah, it doesn't go according to plan because, no spoilers, but there's someone who's working against them, you know, that has inside knowledge, so it puts a spanner in the work, so it's hard, you know, so the things that happen after that are unexpected for him. You know, and so he has to kind of scramble to the end, but it's still really good. I mean, that sequence in Taiwan or Shanghai is very exciting. Very exciting. Number 2,
best villain, by the way, in number 3, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Such a good job. Yep. So flat, like so effectless.
Yeah.
And yet,
the
scary.
Kind of guy who would hurt you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's got that. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that guy's going to hurt you. It's not the. It's that guy's going to really mess you up.
They tried to bring that in 5, I felt, but.
Nope.
You can't do the same thing twice, you know, in films. Number 2 suffers from a few things. One is it suffers from when it was made. You know, it was just made at a time in Hollywood when movies weren't that great. And so there's a certain style to it that doesn't really work. And then John Woo as well. I think I love his Hong Kong films. I love Hard Boiled and The Killer and Bullet in the Head and all, you know, Bullet in the Head, so.
Is that the recent one with Sylvester Stallone? Or you think
No, it's a Hong Kong one with Chow Yun-Fat.
Was the Sylvester Stallone one a remake of that?
I don't believe so. I haven't seen the Sylvester Stallone one, though.
Netflix keeps saying to me, watch it. I'm like, Netflix, how many times do I have to say no? Netflix, stop it, Netflix. And I don't want to watch Full House, Netflix.
Yeah.
I want to watch BoJack Horseman. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I want to watch Full House, Netflix.
Of course it does.
Sure, watch it.
They go together.
Yeah. Netflix. Smarten up.
Netflix is molesting me. No means no. I don't know. It's just a case of, it just brought some kind of a weird, there's 2 weird things. One is the expectation that he would be John Woo. Right? So everyone's saying, woo, John Woo's coming to Hollywood.
Everyone's going, woo.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
And it turns out they were going, boo.
They should have been. Because he came with a different expectation. His idea was, I'm going to come and I'm going to make Hollywood-style movies. Mm. I'm going to come in and I'm going to make these kind of big films that are big Hollywood epic kind of ideas. You know, his idea of Hollywood epics.
No, we want you to be John Woo.
But we want him to be John Woo. But
All right, I'll bring a dove or two, but that's it.
The ticks that he brings are the sort of annoying things, like the doves. Like, you know, why is Jean-Claude Van Damme walking with some doves? Like, why is that going on? This isn't a Prince movie. It would have been good if he directed, like, Purple Rain 2. Would have been perfect, but he didn't. You know, he did whatever that film was with... you remember that one with Jean-Claude Van Damme, where he's, like, going to New Orleans, and then it turns out, like, his friends who are bums are getting killed in some sort of...
I gotta tell you, I've probably seen it, but I don't remember it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Listen, I can talk Time Cop with you to death.
I can't talk that one.
They shot it just blocks from here in the mall that I shop at for groceries. So every time I'm walking through the mall, I'm just like, hey, Jean-Claude Van Damme stopped a roller skating mugger that was in this mall by like just putting his foot up.
Yeah.
And the roller skater went, and stopped.
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, he knows. He knows to stop because the foot's in the air and he's waving it like he just don't care.
I didn't, I haven't seen that one. I can't remember that film's called.
You haven't seen Time Cop?
No. Why would I?
Because it's about a time cop. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he's fighting. Fighting crime through time.
Not selling me yet.
Okay.
Doesn't sound that great.
Fair enough.
Does it go back to like medieval times and fight crime?
I'm not going to tell you if you're not going to see it. Are you thinking a Connecticut? Spoilers. Are you thinking of a Connecticut ass cop? Kicking in King Arthur's court?
That's right. Connecticut cop.
Hey, look at King that Arthur's eclipse! Court. What eclipse? Pow! Right in the mush.
Yes, that's what I was mixing it up with.
Yep.
No, and so he did like Face Off and Paycheck.
Yeah.
And then that Wind Talkers, which is kind of his big war
people
film.
People still have warm feelings for Face Off.
They probably have not watched it in a while. I don't hate Paycheck, actually.
Okay, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
Paycheck's not bad, but I feel like Face Off is, it's too much of his opera style. And the thing is, when you're watching a film from another country, and people are doing like an opera style in that movie in a different language.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what they really talk like in their country. This is either over the top or it's how they actually are.
And yet, here's the thing.
I don't know.
If you're going to do crazy over the top,
yeah,
you can do worse than Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. Those are two guys who can go completely nuts.
It's not what
and,
I want.
And you
it's
go
not what
like, you want, though. Yeah, no, but you go like, all right, if they're going to be going nuts, I'm buying it. It's not William Hurt. You know, everything's fine. And also you're going like, they can't just swap faces. They physically, radically different. But it's like, look, man, we don't care. And they don't care. None of us care.
No.
We're just doing this movie. If you don't like it, there's the door. You know,
I have metaphorically used it by not watching the film again.
The internet doesn't exist yet.
Okay.
Shut up. What are you going to do? Post something on Facebook, which doesn't exist yet?
I went on
Shut up. Get out.
Went on to GeoCities and expressed myself very...
Yeah. Stuff it up your angel fire. Get out of here.
It's been a while since I watched the film. Maybe it's great. I don't know.
Nope. But it's... it was so crazy.
Yeah.
That it's just like, sure.
Okay.
Once
is enough, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Vampire's Kiss. Once is enough. You don't need to watch that film over and over again. You got it. Young at Heart? You got it. You don't need to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Probably best if you don't.
It's probably best if you don't. Once you've seen Willem Dafoe lose his head, you don't need to see that movie again. I think that people just had a lot of expectations of what he's going to bring, you know. And so, like a film like Mission Impossible.
John Woo.
Yeah, Mission Impossible 2. I mean, what's interesting about that series, and there was a really good video about this, online, and the guy was pointing out that what they did with that, well, besides the second one, which was they wanted Brian De Palma to direct, but he was like, oh, I've done one. I don't need to do any more.
Oh, they wanted De Palma to do a second one?
Yeah.
I think that would have been a bad idea.
Why? He does a really good job in the first one.
I know, but you don't want that. You want like each one of them to be its own different
That's
style.
Right. That's what it became, though.
Yeah.
That wasn't their original plan. But once they realized that, and that's what's interesting about Cruise is that he doesn't really put his own aesthetic on in the movies that he does. He's perfectly willing to hire a director. You know, he's producing these films, but he's perfectly willing to hire a director and allow him to have his vision.
Yeah,
you know, act out his vision.
Well,
and
these
he'll
were also
go along for the ride.
The first movies that Cruise was producing, so he wanted them to make money for the first time. Like it was like, you know, he wasn't just an actor who was there doing a thing. It was like, who's marketable? How can we? Yeah, and I think the second one made money.
I think
people went to see it.
Sure.
I remember the most about it, aside from him falling off the rocks off the top, and apparently they didn't, the studio didn't greenlight that scene. They snuck off and shot that
scene
because they wouldn't insure it. So they did it anyway. And that made the studio, we don't like it.
It's a good scene, though.
The villain,
it does establish his character.
Yeah, and I like him tossing his glasses and then dissolving.
Yeah.
That's all right.
There's some good stuff in the film.
There is. You can make a really good 30-minute movie out of it.
I think you can make a longer movie than that out of it.
Well, we'll see. But what
the sequence in the lab is good.
Sure. I'll have to watch it again. The villain in it, though, was he was up to play Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And because he got this and it was running long or something, they had to hire a young man named Hugh Jackman.
And the rest is tragedy.
And the rest is 97 movies with that guy playing Wolverine. Holy cow, he's played a lot of Wolverine.
Well, he's pretty good at the role.
No, he's fine. It's just that's a lot of Wolverine.
Yeah.
When you think about the amount of movies he's appeared in as Wolverine.
Well, it's not his fault. What you should be saying is they've made a lot of movies about Wolverine. They've made a lot of movies about a character whose name is Wolverine.
Right. Even movies where Wolverine shouldn't be in the movie at all. There's no reason for Wolverine. Hey, Wolverine showed up.
Yeah.
There's some Wolverine.
Les Miserables.
Yep.
He's all over that movie.
Le snicked.
Yeah. Mission Impossible 3 is interesting because it's basically... You're right. It's basically a remake of True Lies, only realistically or without comedy in it or something.
Yeah.
Because it has a bridge sequence like they have in True Lies. And
it's
odd.
It's got...
Directed by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, that was his big breakout thing.
Well, and he's produced them all since then, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Co-produced anyway.
Well, you had De Palma did the first one, right? And so, but De Palma wasn't kind of mainstreamy guy.
He wasn't mainstream. No, it was a weird choice.
And that kind of like helped him to be mainstream. And same with... You know, I think John Woo was like, "Now this will make me mainstream," and he did mainstream it for a while.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and J.J. Abrams was the guy from Alias. You know, he wasn't like mainstream movie guy. Like, that was amazing.
No, that was taking a chance, I think.
And then what's his name from the Incredibles director who did Brad Bird.
Yeah.
He wasn't a mainstream guy. No. There you go. And then they gave him Tomorrowland. I haven't seen Tomorrowland, but
I'm not going to judge it.
That's right. Not going to judge it. I'm not quite sure who the director was on the recent one.
Christopher McQuarrie.
Chronicle.
Who's written the last few. He did Chronicle?
I believe so, didn't he? Gotta look it up.
What's Chronicle? Christopher McQuarrie, he did Reacher.
Yeah,
he also... And then he had something to do with Usual Suspects as
No, not Chronicle. I'm sorry. That was the director of the Fantastic Four movie. My mistake, everybody. We've all heard too much
Fantastic Four. What's Chronicle? Is Chronicle the superhero film where the kids kind of go bad?
Point of view, yeah, that's right.
It's a good film, actually.
Yeah, the flying sequences are quite good.
It's quite a good movie.
Yep.
I enjoyed that film.
Agreed. There's a really shitty one that came out recently with that same gimmick, but it's time travel. Don't see it. Terrible.
Oh, yeah.
The worst. It's
Memento.
Really, really bad.
Oh, Memento,
right? Yeah, it's Memento. Absolutely.
No, I know the one you mean. Scrapbook.
Time Cop.
Time Cop. Connecticut Time Cop in King Arthur's pajamas.
How he got in them. Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil how he got in his pajamas. Please.
No one needs to know. Chris McQuarrie. Isn't because he's written the last couple of films, I believe.
That's right.
And so he wrote 4. So, I mean, if you like 4, why wouldn't you like 5? But I feel like the problem with 5...
Because of the director.
I don't want to spoil it. I didn't feel like the director did a bad job in that film.
No. I'm saying if you liked 4, why wouldn't you like 5?
Oh, because the director changed?
Because the director changed, right?
Well, I don't... I think the...
I think Brad Bird brings a certain something to a film, you know?
Well, I think everyone brings me to film, but it's more style than...
Okay, he brings something good to a film. Like, he seems to be able to move a plot along, you know?
Yeah. But does this film short on plot? It seemed like it was overfull of plot. And that, to me, the film really lacked was a moment of silence.
Are we talking the fourth or the fifth?
Fifth.
Okay.
It needed a moment of silence between the two main characters in order to create a connection between them. And we never felt that connection... That could be betrayed or you know what I mean? So we were talking a little earlier, and I feel like every director who's done a Mission Impossible film since Brian De Palma has felt like this is my chance, except for J.J. Abrams and maybe Brad Bird, but everyone else seems to feel like this is my chance.
You mean only one other director then?
No, 3 other directors then.
Okay.
This is my chance to do a Hitchcock film.
All right.
I'm going to take out my book of Hitchcock tropes.
I'm going to take out my Hitchcock.
So that goes for John Woo.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Brian De Palma, because every film he makes is a Alfred Hitchcock film.
Sure, all right.
And then the most recent one, Christopher McQuarrie.
Johnny Five,
yeah. J.J. Abrams worked more in a Spielberg, James Cameron kind of mode.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Bird, I'd have to watch the film again. I've only seen it once, so...
I've seen that quite a few times, that one.
Yeah. I'd have to watch it again and see what I could see. I don't know what he's drawing from as a director.
Hudson Hawk, apparently, off the first scene.
Is that right? That's his favorite movie?
Well, no, but you see...
Is that when they were doing the robbery to a song?
Yeah. Yeah.
and he can't lose his hat.
I don't know about the hat
thing,
but they do.
Can never lose
I think they do the kick in the head with the Mission Impossible one, and they do a variety of songs in Hudson Hawk. Yeah, Hudson Hawk, by the way, probably better than you remember it. I'm going to throw that out there.
I love that film when I saw it. So
there we are.
It's a great film. It's a lot of fun.
I think we're agreeing. You know what?
You look dubious.
No, you know what often happens in this is like, I like cheese. I like cheese too. Well, I really like cheese. We're non-fighting.
People don't see your face though, because I say I really like it and you look kind of like.
Oh, I was holding my nose. That's right. And sticking my finger down my throat. That's true. They did not see this.
People didn't see that, so they don't know that.
Are you saying?
I'm like, I like Hudson Hawk, and you're like, eh, it's okay.
Are you saying for our 200th episode, we should do a video podcast so they can finally see all the magic on our faces?
No.
Okay. We should do it in tuxedos, by the way.
We should do it in tuxedos. Yes.
And you also saw Johnny Shrinky Dink saves the day. Ant-Man. I'm sorry. They call it Ant-Man.
It's true. I have no opinion on his dink.
Yeah. It was weird that they had the villain Yellow Jacket, whose power was he wore a yellow jacket.
Yeah,
and he had the guts to do it.
Is that what he's called, Yellow Jacket?
Yellow Jacket.
I missed that. Is it said in the movie, or is it just you know that?
No, it's said in the movie.
How did I not hear that?
They said it quite often. They went, ladies and gentlemen, the Yellow Jacket. The Yellow Jacket. This is the Yellow Jacket. Hey, Dave, turn your phone off. It's the Yellow Jacket.
Quit not talking to your brother.
Hey, Dave, could you turn up the volume? I want to hear about this Yellow Jacket they keep talking about.
What? What's that again?
Yellow Jacket.
I missed it.
I said Yellow Jacket.
Did someone, crunching popcorn.
Does Evangeline Lilly have enough to do? She's from Vancouver. We all like her. She seems nice.
I felt like she was underused in the film.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I felt like, I shouldn't say underused. I felt like she was being, I felt like it was a good setup, but they needed something for her to do near the end of the film. Mm-hmm. And she didn't get that moment.
Yeah, but they did set her up that, like, next film, we're going to give you something.
I know it's a setup, but still.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-ba.
I didn't know who she... The whole movie, I was watching, I was going like, this woman looks familiar. Who is this person?
You probably saw her in real life many times.
I doubt it.
Yep. She was walking around town like a person.
Maybe.
Yeah. She used to be on... there was a TV show in town called The Electric Playground, where they review video games.
Okay.
And she was a model for when they would, like, have gadgets or a new... Game Boy or something, and she would model it.
She held it in her hand?
In kind of a sexy outfit. It's weird. And in retrospect, you look at it and go, no one who works on the show, I think, like, looks back on it and goes, like, proud.
What a moment.
Yeah. But it was fine.
We're the greatest.
And then she got lost after that. No, she got lost as in the TV series.
Oh.
And then, she was in the Lord of the Elves. Wow. That was a weird time to fart.
Those films. I saw them all in the theater.
The Hobbit ones?
Yeah. I saw them all in the theater. I'm not going to deny
it. Why did you see them all if you didn't like them?
I don't know. I just felt compelled to finish it off.
You like popcorn that much?
I just wanted to finish the series. Like, I was all just right. I guess I got to go and watch it. I watched the first one in the theater. I'll have to go watch the second one. I watched the second one. I was like, oh, that was terrible. And then the third one, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be so awful. I knew it was going to be awful, too. I just knew it.
Okay.
I still went.
I don't know the story, really. So, like, I'm watching it and I'm just going, oh, okay, this is... But when they're doing... When all of a sudden, you know... They're like all running down barrels and doing all the CGI nonsense or juggling dishes in the
terrible.
Kitchen. Shut up. Yeah, it was annoying.
Yeah, it should have been at the most two films. I mean, the fact that the very best scene in the entire series of three films was in the first film between Gollum and Bilbo.
Yeah.
And that was like the best scene in the film.
And then we got nothing else.
And then...
We have nothing else for you.
Yeah.
We got to milk it for two more
and
movies.
And the rest of the films, it completely... hinders the actors from actually acting with each other.
And you're not wrong.
The rest of the time.
Now, here's the thing. If you're a studio and you've got the hot... Like, basically, and Lord of the Rings made all the money in the world.
Sure.
And then won every Academy Award in
Shouldn't
the world.
Shouldn't have, but okay.
Okay, but it did.
Got the pity
prize. And now it's, we're going to do The Hobbit. Well, I wish we could get Peter Jackson. But Jackson said, well, he'll do it. Okay. All right.
They were going to... Guillermo del Toro was going to do it.
He was.
And that sounds interesting to me. But when he was doing it, it was going to be two films.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the problem was, I think we talked about it with Patrick Soriel when he was on the show, is that they had, well, Universal went bankrupt, mm-hmm. and they had part of the project.
Yeah, the rights.
The rights, yeah. And so that held everything up. And so for him, he was like sitting there doing nothing. And then Pacific Rim came along and he's like, okay, I'll go direct this kind of Godzilla-ish film and have some
fun
with that.
Yeah.
And so he left the project. And so it kind of fell to Peter Jackson to do it, kind of against his will, because he was supposed to be doing the next Tintin film.
Right.
But instead, he ended up doing three films of this turgid mess, you know.
Though that you know will then make infinite money.
I guess.
I mean, I wonder what the, you know.
I mean, if that's meaningful, I guess.
To people whose job it is, yeah.
I believe that the movie has, that those films have proven just how meaningless that is.
Yeah, but it made it
more than any other movie that ever made.
And yet, here's the thing. Yeah. They're a studio. And like at the end of the year, they bring out a chart and they go like, how much money did we make this year?
Yeah.
Oh, well, knowing my job's depending on this, let me just point at this money. You can't see where the zeros end, right? That was the choice we made. So there you go. No one's going like, you're a fool. It was artistically wrong.
Yeah. Hmm? No one's saying that. And I understand that.
Yeah.
That's the history of Hollywood, you know? So
it's just such a temptation. How can you not? How can you not? I mean,
well, you just can't help yourselves.
Yeah. It is weird when... I with the Fantastic Four this week doing such a big tank job.
Already canceled the sequel.
Yeah. Well, it's weird that they would already have greenlit the sequel without the movie coming out. Isn't that dumber? That's just like...
So was the Fantastic Four the one that was directed by the guy from Chronicle?
Yes.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah. Although it turns out it seems like he was a jerk on the set, but I can't... Yeah. Oh, like a real jerk. Like, really, wow. And, you know, and you saw the...
Do you know why? He was scared.
And you saw the Twitter that he put out. No. He was saying, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it was like, about a year ago, I had a really fantastic idea for this movie, but you're never going to see it.
Hmm.
So I was like, they wouldn't let him do this movie. And it turns out, from what he said, it was kind of a body horror type thing, kind of a Cronenberg type movie, but they didn't want that. So he did this, and no one wanted this. But so many people... You know, immediately wrote, well, this is the end of those superhero movies. People don't want to see superhero movies anymore.
It's I don't think that's true. I
mean, Absolutely, it's not. Business. That's the thing. And yeah, Avengers did fine, you know.
I mean, if it didn't do as great as the last one, it's because it wasn't as good as the last
one.
That's
right.
So it's not going to...
It was a very different film than the last one. Absolutely.
It's a bit of a dud.
I don't think it was a dud.
Bit of a dud.
I disagree. But, you know, then you've also got, you know, your Daredevil.
How about a misfire?
I don't think it was a misfire either. Hmm. What do you think was misfiry about it? Too many characters?
Didn't work.
In what way? What didn't work?
Didn't connect. The film didn't connect to people. So that makes, to me, it was a bit of a misfire.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that's why it didn't do as well. As people, you know, the last film people really connected to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this film, it just kind of flew over everyone's head. You know, when...
They were distanced from it while watching it. I could see a little bit of that.
What people have a problem with, I think, what I have a problem with is that the main character of the films is Iron Man. And they really centered the most complex character in the films is Tony Stark. And everyone else around him has a bit of a backstory, but it's never filled out as much as his character. His character is the engine that drives the film.
But he didn't drive the last film.
This film he did, though.
What, the Avengers 2?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
You don't think so?
No, not at all. He starts off with, you know, I've got an idea, I want to do this thing, so he does this thing.
Yeah.
But then, no, it's not his journey you follow throughout it at all. You don't.
Well, I'm not saying it's his journey, but he's the engine of the film.
No, he's the spark that starts the film.
He's the spark that finishes the film, too, because it's his insistence on creating the vision that makes that happen as well.
They work together to create the vision, but then the vision...
I mean, the guy's just there. The Hulk guys, is Bruce Banner's is sort of there.
No, he's not. He's got the plot line with Widow. You could go like.
No,
you
know, I'm just talking about through the creation of these various monsters and objects.
You get Stark at the beginning with Banner, you know, doing the I'm gonna do this thing to fix this thing.
Yeah,
and then
I don't think we should do that. I'm gonna do it anyway. Okay.
Well, maybe we should. You know, and I like that he mentions we're both mad scientists. So what are we going to do? Not create a Frankenstein fucking monster? So they...
Yeah, because that's a good argument.
Well,
that's a good, look. We should create an uncontrollable monster.
Those two...
Come on, everybody.
If they had good judgment, neither of them would be where they are. So, you know...
I would say that less with Tony Stark's character. His character is created out of necessity. Right. The fact that he's injured and needs to, you know... keep himself alive and creates this thing out of that. I don't think that's mad scientist.
Right.
The way Bruce Banner's
is. I think what you've got is you've got a movie.
And isn't Bruce Banner's like an accident that he's involved in doing experiments for the government and then he saves someone from...
Well, it depends how you want to put it. Okay. If you want to go old school, and they got real vague as to what, you know, they're doing. But like the old school Hulk thing is he's a guy who's making weapons that are going to kill people.
Yeah.
But when he sees someone is in danger, he goes to save that person. Yeah. He risks his own life. Even though he makes weapons that would kill all these, a lot like Tony Stark, frankly, he goes to save it in this unselfish act. you know, when he gets exposed to this, that kind of colors what his character is as the Hulk.
Yeah.
He is a destructive force, yes, but he does try to save people. Mm-hmm. But I think what people were talking about, you know, what's the theme of that movie? And the theme of the movie is it's basically being parents, you know? And so, like, you've got Tony Stark, whose kid, you know, is him and Bruce Banner. Basically, they have a kid together. And their kid is a real fuck-up. And it's like, what are you going to do? And it's like, and they have, like, another kid. And that kid actually, like, solves the damn problem. And then you've got Black Widow and the Hulk. And their whole thing is they're not going to have kids, you know? And it's like, you don't have to have kids. We can still just be this. And then you've got Hawkeye. And Hawkeye has, like, a kid-related thing as well. And it's like talking about, like, what's family? You know, so there's all this family stuff. The only person that doesn't is Thor, because Thor's got another movie to fucking push. So we've got to have him go off on this crazy journey. And also, we can't deal with his family, because we've dealt with his family for the last bunch of movies, so we're fine. But it's, you know, it's then you've got the other family thing of brother and sister who basically had to raise each other, and they raised each other by, like, wanting vengeance on this one person, and they've got to decide what to do with their business and, like, change their perspective. And it's all this fucking family stuff. And then
it's
even
strange
when
that it didn't work,
it's a risk. And so, you know, you say it didn't work. I think, like, when you see a movie like Winter Soldier, what do you do then in Avengers that doesn't negate what you did in Winter Soldier tone-wise? It's tough, because Winter Soldier was such a talky movie that I don't know how you do an Avengers then that doesn't have that Winter Soldier kind of tone to it. I don't know how you pull that off. I liked it. Let me just bottom line it that I thought I liked it. I thought, like, when I watched the first Avengers film, as I've said before, it's a little too clean and a little too tight. It's pretty much perfect. Everything sets off everything else.
Yeah.
And the second Avengers movie is messier. So it looks like, you know, well, it's not as good. But I don't know if it is not as good. I just think it's a little bit of a messier movie that's like got its elbows going out, and characters are actually being characters instead of just moving plot points along. Whereas I think in Avengers, though it's very entertaining and everything is setting up either an action point or a joke point, or maybe a very broad character point, no one's really being a character in it. There's no moments where someone's sitting and actually having a conversation. And in this film, they actually do a lot of that, where it's just Black Widow's going to flirt for a bit now at the bar while she's tending bar, and we're talking to all these people, and this is their off hours. You know, here we go. Hello. But
Left me cold. Sorry, everyone.
That's fair.
If you're a big fan of the film, I don't blame you.
That's fine. But while this is all going on, we've now got things like every 6 months you're going to be getting a Netflix series as well.
Oh, boy.
You're going to be getting that. Well, Daredevil was good.
It was okay.
No, it was good. So, you know, and the next thing you're going to get is the AKA Jessica Jones. Okay. And then you're also going to have your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going on. You're probably going to have more Agent Carter going on. And it's just this amazing thing that they've pulled out where you're going to like something probably. Yeah. There's going to be one of those that,
I think, like, it's definitely Agent Carter.
Yeah. But you're going to like something in this mix. Mm. And it's just amazing to me that they've created all these different genres. And they're all connected, but you don't need to watch everything to, like, you can watch Daredevil and not know, you know, the impetus for this was what happened in the Avengers, and it really messed up New York, and so that's why Hell's Kitchen looks like this. You can know that, or you don't have to know that.
Yeah.
By the way, this is also what set off Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is happening because of the stuff that happened in the Avengers movie. Both of these series were triggered by the same movie, but they went in totally different directions. And I just go, holy shit, that was just an amazing thing to pull off. And then you see what DC is trying to do and just go, bark, deep, bark, bark. And it's like, oh, man, DC, are you not watching these things? Yeah, come on, friends.
It's like either it's a very bad person who's sort of masterminding it, or there's no one masterminding it and they don't care.
Yeah, as I was saying to you.
Don't mind going to the store and cashing the checks. That's
fine. As I was saying to you in the car, like what they've been doing with the DC TV series is they've basically been taking traditional procedural shows and sticking a superhero in there, like Flash is CSI plus Speedy Guy.
Okay.
It's like, what if CSI and one guy is really fast, and instead of a serial killer, the guy that has a cold gun. But aside from that, you do exactly the same thing. Like, you see the crime, and then this person has a personal issue he's got to deal with, but he's also trying to solve the crime. And now we're all going to sit around and watch, look at a giant monitor, try to figure it out, and our first thing is going to be wrong. And we're going to fuck it up even more. And then we're going to try it again. And we're going to be close. And we almost got him. And we didn't get him. Okay, now what we're going to do? Now we're going to figure out the one thing. Because someone's talking about ice cream. And they're going to go brain freeze. Brain freeze, that's it. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Last act. Catch the guy. Put him in a hole. Done. Procedural, same every week. Comforting, we got it. If you like the superhero, you're going to watch the superhero. If you like procedural elements, you're going to watch procedural elements. That's how you do it. It's fine. Repeat.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Why I don't watch those shows.
That's all right. You don't have to.
No, I'm not required to.
What you are required to, though, the magic of my life. Is what? Have your is have traffic held up while they shoot those shows. That's the only thing that you're going to have.
Once again, I live in Aldergrove. Very unlikely they'll be holding up traffic. Although they do shoot Bates Motel in Aldergrove. So.
I know. That is kind of a cool thing that you live near the Bates Motel.
I live very, very close to it. I could, if I felt like it, I could walk there.
Nice.
It's about a half hour walk, but I could walk there if I wanted to. I don't want to. Actually, right now, it's all chain linked closed. Like when they first put it in,
yeah,
you could like walk up to it, like right up to it. And there was a security guard there, but it's a guy sitting in his car and everything was open. Like it was all open. You could, I mean, you couldn't walk into it, obviously, because it's security, but I mean, you could just walk up to it, take a picture.
Yep.
And it looked nice. You had Bates Motel in the picture and you had the house on the hill without a roof on it.
Oh, you got the house going on?
Yeah, the house is right above it.
Nice.
It's built on a hill right above the hotel.
Can people
motel.
Walk into the house like no, if they're no. in the show?
You cannot go in.
Not a regular person, but like, I wonder if it's a functioning house as in like, if they built the inside of the house to be...
I don't know.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Like if you're building
I think
a house...
I think you wouldn't.
Really? You wouldn't want to build it to shoot
no,
stuff inside?
No, because they would just use sound stages for that stuff.
Fair enough.
They just do some of the outdoor stuff. And what's funny is that... Like, it's built almost, like, basically across the street from the local dump. Like, the waste, it's not a dump, it's a waste transfer station. So people come and they put all their garbage onto a conveyor belt, and then the garbage goes into a dumpster, and then the dumpsters are trucked away. But it's right across the street. So if you, like, you can't shoot out onto the street on the show in that direction because you're looking at a dump. So you have, they can only shoot either facing directly at the motel and or the house, or if they want to shoot the street, they have to shoot to the south a bit, like southeast direction. Because otherwise, that way there's no dump, there's just trees and stuff like that. But the other direction is not so nice. So I've not watched the show, but Mary has watched it. And she says, yeah, it's interesting to watch because you're spend the whole time going, oh, interesting, they're not showing in that direction. Or, you know, and you're aware of that. You know, but they do film in other places. They shoot at the Hilltop Cafe, which is in Langley. Just down from us, a very popular eatery. That's where they have the Everest Burger and the Mountain Burger.
Sounds like the same burger. What's the difference?
The Everest Burger is three patties, an egg, a piece of ham.
And a kick in the throat.
A piece of ham, bacon,
yeah.
A farmer sausage.
Sure.
And then fried onions.
Cheese, obviously.
Cheese, many cheeses. Many different cheeses, and then fried onions, lettuce, tomato, and pickles, and
Thousand Island dressing, some such.
Something like that, yeah. And then it's pretty big. I've had it.
Have you eaten it?
Yeah, ate it all.
Wow. Yeah. And so what's the difference between that and the Mountain Burger?
Mountain Burger is only two patties, but it comes with a hot dog and onion rings on it. So I want to try that one next time.
Okay.
Because my problem with the Everest Burger was a little too hammy for me.
How are they keeping Guy Fieri around, away from that place?
I don't know.
That seems like he would just be floating around like a vulture.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's like the best hamburger you've ever had. It's more like the most challenging hamburger
you've ever had. I'm sure the burgers that he eats aren't the best burgers in the world either.
The problem with eating it is you start eating it and it's like straight up and down.
Yeah.
And as you're eating it, it starts to look more and more like a traffic cone. Because you're squeezing it and everything's squeezing out into like a telescope.
As it would,
And so you have to turn it around and then eat back into it and then spin it that way. But I ate it. I ate my fries. And they give you like a mountain of fries to hold it up.
Yeah.
And then I had a piece of pie after. And the lady said, that's crazy. But they didn't, and normally
they don't give you a shirt or anything.
Normally they take a picture of you and they put it on their Everest wall. But there was no one there with a camera that day. So, and we didn't, this is pre me having a phone. So I didn't have my cell phone with me.
Oh, you should have drawn a picture of yourself.
But I felt so guilty after I had it that I went home and I mowed the lawn like with, the most, with incredible gusto. I was like, mow the lawn, get work off this burger. And that was big.
Wow.
It's big.
I was wondering, like,
I don't recommend it for everybody.
This is actually a problem. Like, I do like watching the Food Network. Like, I'll watch some of the shows on there. I like ones that show you how to cook. That's rare.
they're kind of disappearing, aren't they?
But my wife is saying that every time she turns on the TV, it's Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Always. Very popular. Constantly. Yeah. And, well, he's got multiple shows.
Oh, okay.
He's got...
Shopping Spree.
He's got, Guy's Grocery Games. Okay. He's got Diners, Drivers, and Ditch Diggers. He's got... he's got...
Everyone likes those Ditch Diggers.
He's got eggs, eggplants, and eyesores.
He does not like eggs.
He doesn't like eggs?
No. He will not eat eggs on the show.
Oh, man, that is funny. That's like saying you can't throw eggs in the garbage dump. You're like, why can't you throw everything else in the garbage dump? Why can't you throw eggs in there?
He does not like eggs because he has this thing about eggs.
Oh, interesting. He'll
have like, but he likes like a hash. And I assume hash has eggs in it.
No. Hash? Hash browns?
No, not hash browns. Like a hash, like a corned beef hash or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, you can put eggs like on top of that. Yeah.
Like a breakfast hash or something.
Yeah, that would normally have eggs on it. Wow.
But he won't have like a fried egg on like a hamburger.
I just wonder like what happens to him after a day of shoot. Like I assume he just shoots a restaurant a day. He probably doesn't shoot more than a restaurant a day. Probably.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then so he goes out, like, do you just have to towel the grease off yourself? Well, what do you do? Like, are you okay?
They must do it over a couple of days too, because they'll have, well, unless the restaurant set up, because sometimes they'll have things like, you know, you put it in the freezer or we put it in the walk-in for 2 days.
Oh, of course. No, they prep things in advance. Yeah. He doesn't just wait around just where it's like
in the town.
That would be funny if, like, you know, so what do? We put in the garlic. We put in this, then put in the other. What do we do now? Now we just put it in the marinade for 12 hours. Then you come back and he's got more beard. And then it's like, and what happens now?
Look.
Now we flip it and we put it in there for another 24 hours. And he comes back and you just see, like, he's peed his pants. He's just weighed there. He's just a thousand yard stare.
They don't have an old bathroom?
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, sorry, for customers only.
For customers only.
Paying customers only.
Fieri, how you say your name?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Someone's stealing your car, Fieri.
But that's kind of a cooking show.
What?
That's kind of a cooking show. Like, they show you how they make the food that they make. Like,
yeah,
they show
it so fast. It's like,
it's true.
You know, it's this powder. Now what? Now put it on the thing.
Mix it up. Throw it in there.
And then, all right. And then puts his sunglasses on backwards and just...
takes a giant bite of it. I don't know. I like that show.
I would love to.
You'll never convince me it's a bad show.
I would love to see how that show would have gone over, like, say, in the 70s on TV. Like, if you had a show like that and just showed it to human beings back mm-hmm. then, if they would just, like, what's going on? That can't
I
be a show.
I think most of it, well, maybe that, but I think most of the food would be very familiar to them. I think,
oh,
in
the
a
food
way,
would be.
A lot of that food is becoming less and less popular nowadays.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's a guy who is just unashamed. And mm-hmm. so people are like, look at that guy. He's just eating a burger with no shame.
No shame. Shouldn't he be ashamed of himself?
He's got it's dripping down his freaky beard.
Look at that. He's eating the bun. That bun's full of gluten. And it's, you know, it's not even carbless or whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh,
whatever food is. I don't even know what food's supposed to be. But yeah,
I hope,
no,
I hope he comes to a good end.
Actually, our Canadian version of that show, You Gotta Eat Here, mm-hmm. We saw, Eve and I were watching it, and this guy made waffles with bacon in the waffles.
Mm-hmm.
And we made them.
Oh, nice.
They were really good, actually. I would recommend it. You just like put a bit of the batter into the waffle iron.
Yeah.
And then you put your bacon on top of that, then put a bit more on top, and then let it cook normally.
Yeah.
And then when it comes out, and what's weird about it is like, it's like the bacon's gone. I mean, it's there. If you want to look for it, you can find it, but it's kind of gone. Like, it's just part of the waffle then.
But the flavor's there?
It's good, yeah. It's like a salty flavor that comes out.
Now, are you familiar with the Adventure Time song, Bacon Pancake?
No.
Very good. I will put this up online.
good. That was good. I mean, I overdo the toppings on a waffle.
What's your waffle toppings?
I always make a blueberry syrup or blueberry compote or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And so a butter compote syrup.
Don't throw a whipped cream on top of that.
And then whipped cream.
Boy.
What's wrong?
I'm not. It's weird. Whenever I go to say like an IHOP, mm-hmm. right? I will go into an IHOP and I'll see people who are eating those like waffles with the this and that and the other. And I just go, I can't. It makes no sense to me.
Why?
It makes no sense to me.
That it has that much stuff on it?
I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's just the sweetness.
How can you eat
like...
it? Like when I see a stack of pancakes at like an IHOP and people are eating a stack of pancakes, I'm just like.
I'm not that into pancakes.
No, but I'm not. It's not that I'm not into it. I understand the flavor is okay.
Okay.
But like the sheer amount of pancakes.
Yeah.
It's just, it's ridiculous. It can't be done.
No.
It can't be done. It's like like if someone like went, here's your dozen donuts. This is the thing you eat now. Eat it all. Like, no, I can't. It's inhuman. But people do.
Dozen donuts?
Well, no. But
I imagine some people do that.
How is it? Okay, tell me this. If you have like a big stack of like pancakes at an IHOP, mm-hmm. right? Like they got three is a normal stack.
Okay.
So let's go a six stack. What's the difference?
That's a lot.
Yeah. What's the difference between that and like a dozen donuts? Really?
Probably nothing.
I bet if you flattened those pancakes and you flattened all the donuts, it would probably be a lot more of the pancakes, I would think.
It'd be gross, too.
It'd be gross, yeah. Maybe my parents really rationed out the pancakes when I was a kid.
No, I'm with you. I mean, if I don't hate pancakes, but two is like, that's great.
And you feel different about waffles.
Well, one waffle is great.
Oh, you're just having a one waffle.
Yeah, we don't get carried away.
You're not doing a stack?
No.
I don't know.
Well, because yeah, because they're big Belgian kind. So okay. They're not the, I actually
you
love those.
You are a gentleman that just told me about this burger that I'm having nightmares about.
Well, that's special occasion. I'm not going to do that every day.
Yeah, it's special occasion. It's the last day of your life.
I'm not going to do that every day. It's once in a while, it's kind of fun.
Sure, I'm not going to judge you.
You know, it's fun. Once in a while, it's fun to eat a lot. That's, you know.
Sure.
I don't do it every day. Otherwise, I would look like I eat a lot. But, yeah, like we have one of those makers that has like the big giant Belgian waffle style.
Cool.
Which I don't like, actually.
Boo, then.
I like the small ones.
Okay.
But you can't get those anymore. Like, that's an old-fashioned waffle.
I like the kind that you pour the batter in and then you flip it over. You can do it.
That's what I have.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's handy. And it beeps when it's ready, too.
As, nice. As someone who spent a lot of time doing shows in motels, the best motels had those,
okay.
You know, in your...
Well, when you're making breakfast in the morning?
Making breakfast in the morning, yeah.
That's true.
It's like they have a little Dixie cups mm-hmm. of the batter. Mm-hmm. You put it in like, I got a hot... Oh, this is great. Because normally you'd get like a real stale muffin. And they go, that's your continental breakfast.
Yeah.
You go, what continent is this? Name the continent. Europe? Because I think Europe does better than this. Is this North America? Is that the continent? Yeah. It's not South America.
The continental breakfast.
Yeah, are you saying this is Australian?
Yeah.
Because this is not an Australian breakfast. Name the continent, sir, that this is a breakfast on.
What it actually means is you will go somewhere else to eat.
Antarctica, perhaps? They are grateful for any food at all?
Yep.
Sir?
One penguin egg and a little cup of yogurt.
Aww.
There you go.
A little penguin
Enjoy
egg.
It. Enjoy your continental breakfast.
No it's happy free. Feet.
It's free. Yeah, at our motel we like to go to in Portland, they have the waffle maker. And I say, yes.
Good on you. I'm trying to make a smooth transition to something I want to talk about because we only got about 15 minutes left or so.
Okay.
Okay. And I can't do
it. Don't make it smooth. Just make a breakneck turn.
All right. Here's the breakneck turn. There's two things that people are showing videos of right now online that I wanted to sort of discuss with you.
Okay.
One was a scared straight series of videos that parents are making with their kids. Have you seen this about
I have not.
The internet?
You probably should have shown me these before we did.
No, sir. I will not. I will just describe them to you.
Okay.
Here's what they are.
All right.
It's
so these are parents are making these for their kids.
Here's what's going on. I'll explain.
Okay. All right.
So there's a fella who gets with the assistance of a set of parents.
Yeah.
They go online with the daughter.
Yeah.
Who's like a early teens.
Okay.
Kind of thing, and do the let's meet up. Let's meet up sometime.
Okay.
And so it's, and the daughter is like online, like, you know, gets, you
this
know.
This isn't an MTV show, Catfish, is it?
No.
Okay.
So it's basically flirts. Why don't you come and, okay. And so there's somewhere it's like, my dad is not here right now. I'm going to come out and I'll come see you. And it's like, okay. So they, you know, she'll leave the house.
Okay.
And, you know, supposed to be meeting the guy outside the house and then it'll be the dad. Okay, and the dad's there and says, what are you doing? What are you crazy? So it's that. There's that.
All right.
But then it goes this next step, which is, I got a van out front. Why don't you come see me? I'll pick you up and we'll go and do this. And so the girl goes out to the van. Bad, of course. Bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Really bad. But the parents are in the van wearing ski masks. Okay. Wearing ski masks.
Yeah.
So when she goes in the van, they grab her like they're going to murder her.
Oh, man.
And then she flips out.
Yeah.
And then they pull the masks off. It's like, what are you thinking? You can never get in a van with a person. And da, 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 da. Okay. So there's a lot of people I know have been sharing this video.
Okay.
As just like, oh, kids today. You know, it's kids really today. Bad. It's really bad with kids today. And my thing is just like, what's wrong with those parents dressed up in the fucking ski masks and the whatever? And yeah, you're right. Tricking the daughter into seeing
you
do and going that.
And trapping.
So I just want to get you, as a parent, what do you think of that? Is that fair? Okay, Dave has right now a shocked look on his face.
Well, I feel it's, to me, it has the same sound as a parent going, you want to smoke? You're going to smoke this whole pack of cigarettes. That'll teach you not to smoke. Like, what is it? It doesn't taught them anything. Like, it just feels like, what do people learn when we trap them into something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's, they may never have thought of doing this in their whole lives, but you created this enticing situation that played out the way it did. You created it. You know your daughter's weaknesses. and you exploited them to make it turn into the situation.
So is it not worth it to teach them a lesson about internet safety? Or is this
Of course it's worth it to teach them about internet safety, but I mean,
is it worth it to put it through them through
no,
that?
No, not. That's ridiculous. The thing is that...
That's what I feel too. All these people are like posting this thing.
They should already know.
Good for them. They care.
I mean, the kids should know about internet safety when they're 6, not when they're 16. Mm-hmm. You know, this should be already talked to them and told to them, and you know, they just have the common sense to not put themselves into risk.
It feels like to me like they're going, don't take the car out for a drive when we're gone.
Yeah.
And so then you hide as a scary clown in the back of the car with a knife.
And leave and then the when keys. She sits, leave the keys in the counter.
Leave the keys in the counter. Yeah. Then they come in the car and like, ah, I'm going to murder you. It's like, what? Now you've learned, don't put the car keys in the bubba da bub.
Well, but who learned what?
I know.
It's just, it's strange to me.
There's a bit of me, and it ties into a separate thing.
I don't like that idea of, I don't like the idea of being punished for something that you're tricked to do. Like, I feel...
I will agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a side thing here, and maybe, you know, again, and I might be totally full of shit about this, and again, I'm not a parent, so I don't know, which is why I like running this stuff by you. And again, you're not the uber parent.
Yeah, what do I know?
Feel different. You've raised two... I raised two
healthy heroin addicts. Mm-hmm. You know, both have had children at the age of 15 and
16. That's right. And they're, 16, and they're heroin 16. Addicts as well.
The children are, well.
Do you know what? That's a good business model.
No one wants to be a heroin addict by themselves.
It's like,
of course, it's a family thing.
Here's what hit me when I watched it. When, again, all these people I know are parents are posting this and just going, oh, it's so different now. Is it? First of all, the crime rate is way down. All this stuff is down. Yeah. But that they did the van. Because to me, the van is what's fucked up. So many families right now is this fear of like, there's a van,
yeah,
and your kid is going to be put in the van,
yeah,
and that's the end of your kid,
yeah,
because there's a van,
sure.
And look, people are driving around with a van, so your kids can't play outside because there's a van,
yeah.
And if that van is looking for your kids, they're like an anti ice cream man, and they're going to fucking take your kids and they're going to take them away like the Pied fucking Piper, and that's the end of your kids. And if you did that, that's your fucking fault for having the van,
yeah.
So like that they use that. It's just like, now the reason that the kid probably wants to get out is because they can't leave the house.
Yeah.
Because we've got a generation of kids that can't leave the fucking house.
Well, you'd be happy to know that the little kids in my neighborhood, they're outside by themselves all the time.
Well, because
the parents are nowhere to be seen.
You told me a story about like, you know,
when my daughters were young. Yeah.
They wanted to go for like a walk. They wanted to walk from a friend's house a couple of blocks. And I was like, no. Yeah. You know why? Because the fucking van.
Yeah,
this ghost
there.
Van, this game that doesn't fucking exist for real, you know, that maybe existed once, you know.
Sure.
So instead, this because of this ghost fucking boogeyman van,
yeah.
Everyone has to stay inside now, even though it doesn't really exist. Mm-hmm. So you've just made it fucking exist.
Yeah.
And terrified parents going, this van exists. Mm-hmm. No, it didn't. You brought the fucking van.
Yeah, you created the situation.
It's your van.
Yeah, you...
You're the guys in the ski mask. They
you
aren't
trapped
real.
Yourselves.
Yeah.
You freaked yourselves out.
You'd say, see, you should be scared of ghosts. Yeah. No, you dressed as the ghosts.
By the way, everybody, take a drink.
Okay. There's a siren going by.
No, what I was saying, though, is that the kids... We have little kids in our neighborhood now, like little 4 or 5, 6-year-old kids in our neighborhood. We have new families that have moved in.
You sure they're not raccoons who have stolen clothing from a clothesline?
Could be that, or this might be families of midgets or little people that are living in the area. And but these kids play outside by themselves all the time, and their parents are nowhere to be seen. Sometimes the dad sits in a lawn chair at the end of the driveway.
But that
or
was
the
old school back when we were kids. Sometimes mom would sit out there in a provocative outfit, and you'd feel weird.
Like, I don't remember that, but okay.
Get out of the bikini, mom.
So it seems like it's kind of gone around full circle. So we still have an incredibly paranoid group of people running their teenage kids' lives. These so-called, I think they're called parachute parents. Is that what they're called?
Helicopter parents.
That's right, helicopter parents.
Are you thinking of parents?
I think of parachute club.
Are they? Yeah.
I think of parachute club.
That's right.
Which of course, was the clothing line.
Right. And also they have parachute pants.
Parachute pants. Yeah. Part of parachute club. If you remember parachute club.
Right. Hammer, don't hurt them. That's what they say to gentlemen with hammers walking around the neighborhood because they're scared. They will hammer their children.
Do you remember the commercials? I'm not just a parachute. I'm also the owner of the company. So it's just interesting because, yeah, these kids. And what's crazy is that, like, they love to go walking with me or with Lisa. Or I don't think we've ever gone together because that would be crazy. But they love walking the dogs with us. So I'll go to take the dogs for a walk, and then I'm surrounded by kids who they want to walk the dogs, which, by the way, is no treat for the dogs, having little kids walk you. Mm-hmm. No. Because little kids, what they want to do is control you while you're walking. So it's a lot of yank, jerk, stop, pull. You know, we have the kind that feed out, you know, yeah. let the dogs kind of wander ahead. Nope, can't do that. Stop. You know, oh boy, the poor jerk, yank, pull. But our dogs are such angels that they're just kind of like, well, let's put up with it for a while because, you know, at least the kids will let us eat blackberries, unlike Dave. But I was walking with the kids in the field one time with this a brother and sister, two of the kids, and they both decided that they had to go pee. So I'm like, well, you know, we're going to be home soon, so just hold. No, I got to go pee now. I'm like, in a field? Yeah, I'm going to go pee. I'm like, okay. So I'm like looking off into the distance, so I'm not looking at them. I'm like, okay, just go pee. Can you hand me a leaf or something? So then I'm like pulling leaves off a tree, and then I'm reaching behind me but not looking at them. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh my God, I hope that no adult sees this because I'll be spending the rest of my life telling people I'm in the neighborhood. So, because they're not my kids. So,
yeah.
And what if they say to their mom and dad, oh, what was your walk? Oh, it's fun. And I peed. Or even, we got undressed. It was fun. Or something like that. Like, just some innocent kid conversation that ends up with the police at my doorstep, you know? So I was like, oh. And then Lisa was telling me the other day that kids were peeing when she was there. I said, you know what? It happened with me. And I thought, oh, this is crazy, but okay. But then afterwards, I got all paranoid about it. And I'm thinking, this is not a good thing because this could really affect the rest of your life.
You know?
Fortunately, I think the parents know us well enough that they wouldn't be thinking like dirty things are happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're kind of putting yourself in that situation.
Can you have a word with the parents and just go like, you know, fine with going walking with the kids,
but
sometimes they want to go to the bathroom. And I feel weird about that.
I think I might mention it.
Yeah, that's
just
fair.
To get it out of the way. But yeah, no, I mean, the kids love, Lisa calls them her posse, you know, and so she'll be walking on the street with four little kids with the dogs.
I'm super glad to hear. Now, here's again, we don't have much time, but I just want a tangent to this because this was the second thing that was posted.
Okay.
Because there was a series of.
We have as much time as you want, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Aw.
So it's your show, man.
I'm going to take my time then.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what? I'm going to eat this Curly Whirly bar nice and slow.
I love Curly Whirly bars.
And
so long, RIP Wigwag.
Here's something I found out. Mm-hmm. First of all, the Curly Whirly bar was always called the Curly Whirly bar in England.
Yeah.
That's what I first heard about. And we know it as the Wigwag because it was called that in Canada, but it was called the Marathon bar in the States.
Why is it called that? I can understand Wigwag because it implies like the wiggle waggle of the bar.
Because it was called a Marathon bar. If you watch the commercials, which they have online, it was like, I'm the fast pirate and I do everything fast. Hey there, says a cowboy all in white. Why not try a Marathon bar? No one can eat it fast. I think I can eat skip fast. I fucking can't. He's right. I can't fucking eat it fast.
Wow, that's a lot of swearing for a kid. What's
with the language?
Salty the pirate here. Gosh.
Shove it up your Snickers, you son of a bitch. I'm like, yeah, so that's why.
Yeah, I think I commented on, you posted about it, and I commented that the first time I heard Curly Whirly bar was a fall song, and I thought it was Bug Day, but I listened to Bug Day. I have to admit, I kind of faded out while I was listening to it, so I might have missed the line, but I swore it was from that song. But anyway, he mentions two girls getting Curly Whirly bars,
right?
And I thought that was cool. And when I went to England the first time, I was like, oh, there's a Curly Whirly bar, I have to buy that because I heard it from the song. Yeah. And then I looked at it and went, oh, it's a Wigwag.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
But it's pretty good.
Disappointing
bar.
It's okay, it's toffee and chocolate.
That's quite nice. Okay. Speaking of terrible things.
Yeah.
So they've been posting this video too, and it's mothers of teenagers who joined ISIS. Because we were talking a little bit about ISIS in the car, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all these mothers going, I don't know. They were just a good kid. And then they met the people from ISIS online. They recruited them. And then they went off and they're doing this.
Yeah.
And they're all, I don't know. And so a lot of the parents who have been commenting on this are just like, parents need to have greater control over their kids. They got to look at everything their kids are seeing online.
Okay.
And like I normally do, because I'm a dick, is I go, or the opposite, because here's my theory, and again, you tell me if you think this sounds like bullshit or not.
Okay.
I think we basically got a generation, or maybe even we've gone two generations now, of kids who can't play outside on their own.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that happens when you play outside on your own, unsupervised, is that's where you start to develop your ethics, and you start to develop
empathy.
You just start to develop empathy. You start to develop what's fair and what's not.
Yeah.
You start.
Yeah,
make,
for sure. What's fair and what's not.
You
learn how
to
bully.
Yeah, you learn
how to
bully.
Exclude other people.
That's right. You can. And then you can also learn to not do that. You can learn to counter.
You learn both ways.
You learn,
you'll do both of them as a kid.
Right. But when you don't have basically you don't have the cops around, which are the parents, you know, that's when you become yourself, and that's when you start to find out who you are. And so I think, like, there's all these kids who never had the time
and if
without the cops around.
And also you spent hours play fighting, and you get all that play fighting out of you. You don't feel like going to another country to play fight. And then you discover that play fighting isn't that much fun when it's real.
Yeah, you're told.
Wait a second, this sucks.
When you see two kids fighting now, it's like, hey. The parents break them up, you know? You can't be fighting. It's like, maybe you should be fighting to learn what the limits of fighting are as well. And you just learn all these things when you're basically, like for me, it was in the woods. Is where you learn basically to define.
Where you met your friend in the van.
Because that's right. Doesn't exist. It's like, to me, where you develop your ethics, you can only develop ethics when you don't have the authority figure around. Because if the authority figure's around, it's not ethics that's motivating you.
Yeah, it's fear.
It's fear of consequence.
Yeah.
You know, to determine, you know, what's right and what's wrong, you need some time alone.
Yeah.
So
you have to learn you can't budge into line and other, like, social things that you fit in socially. Yeah.
Right. And when I was even talking to, like, you know, my niece and nephew now, one of the big things for them is always the rules. What are the rules? The rules are this, that.
Really?
And, you know, when they,
I think my daughters are very, very disinterested in that.
I think you got a little bit of a different situation going on with
That's
your
true.
Kids than, yeah. They know if they obey these rules, they get this thing and this is the thing. So the rules are important.
Okay.
But yeah, just wanted to know what you thought of that. If you think that
no, I don't like that either.
Is it does it make kids more susceptible to, you know, when it's, because I think kids get a, you know, there's a natural rebellion stage that you go through as a teenager, which I think, and I don't know if it's biological, but I think if it wasn't there, kids would stay at home forever. It's just that rebellion. No, screw you. Everything you believe is wrong. I'm out of here. You know, this is no, you're wrong.
You know, you say that, but actually, neither of my daughters really went through that kind of phase.
Right. I think your daughters are a little different because of your relationship with them is a little different. Then do you think
I can only talk about it as it relates to me, me as a parent.
Did you feel that you had that rebellion stage as a
Oh, yeah. I was a terrible teenager.
Do you think it was, you were right to, okay, what motivated your rebellion stage?
I think you feel your parents don't understand you.
Yeah.
And then you have to, like, you have to prove your identity to them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's weird. My mom is, you know, everyone's family is different. My mom's dynamic with us was to be very controlling and to, you know, control us through nagging. And, you know, that's how you shape us, you know. So we were kind of shaped by this very negative situation, you know. It was negative, but it also was supposed to, like, tie us to her.
Right.
Because, you know, you have to prove that we can't do anything without her. So that was, it's a very negative sort of upbringing in that sense. I don't think that our kids grew up that way. They had a different sort of upbringing.
I think you guys did. You had an open communication that was very different than, I don't think it was you hovering over watching what they looked at on the internet all the time.
No, I don't think I've ever, I mostly see what they're watching because they show it to me.
Yeah. I think there's a natural push off that teenagers do. And
that's healthy, I think.
I think that is healthy. But I think that natural push off, if you've never had a chance to develop who you are because you've always just been, you know, you've always had authority around you constantly, then another voice saying, you know,
whatever, whether it's ISIS or neo-Nazis or drugs or, whatever.
Gamergate, what the hell?
Gamergate would be another thing where you feel like you're part of a movement that's important, you know, and you have some sort of mythology you've built up around it.
It's who am I? Oh, I'll tell you who you could be. Oh, all right. Well, at least I'm not this. Push off that to this. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I need you to have all the answers immediately. I've just brought this up. Come on.
Top of your head.
Your problem is you raised healthy kids. I need a fucking terrible dad so I can find out if my theories are right.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think that you're right about play. I think a generation of children have really missed out on the importance of play, creative self-directed play, whether it's just being outside, pushing cars around in the mud, or playing sports, or playing tag with your friends.
Climbing trees,
making up games, getting in fights.
Learning not to jump that high,
you know,
from that high.
Yeah, that's right. Learning that you shouldn't dangle your feet over something before you jump, because all the blood goes to your feet. That's painful. This thing, all kinds of stuff that you learn as a kid that, and I do think that, I don't know if it shapes your ethics. I mean, I think your ethics, you learn your ethics in different ways, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I'm being too broad with that.
Probably. And I think one of the most important teachers of ethics, and this would sound strange, is reading. I think reading stories where you live other people's lives is a very important way to learn empathy.
I don't disagree with that.
And yeah. maybe you get that from television, but I don't know, because I don't think you live in the person's head the same way you do as you do in a story. But I think that those, you know, that's an important thing as well. But it's hard to say. I mean, and I'm not going to say my girls grew up in a religious household, because they didn't, you know, like I'm religious, but my girls aren't. I mean, they go to church with me, but I think they go because they like dad. So they just humor me. But other than that, it's, you know, to them, it's not that important. So whoever they are is shaped by our family dynamic and by their exposure to pop culture or literature or whatever. But I do think when I see them, I do see people that make good decisions. And so somewhere in how they were raised, they learned how to make good decisions. Now, to say that they're always going to make good decisions, that's not true, because, you know, there could be car accidents that were caused by bad decisions or whatever, right? But mostly good decisions. So, you know, it's hard to know. Like, they still grew up as a generation that didn't play outside as much as I would have liked them to. I mean, I forced them out the door, but, you know, they didn't get the kind of play that I think is so valuable, which is to be gone for long periods of time and just be out there roaming around and exploring the world and taking risks. Yes, taking risks and possibly risking physical injury because your play is a little rough or whatever. And that's fine. You know, that's what kids need, I think. But, and I'm so happy when I see the kids in my own neighborhood now scooting around on their bikes and falling down and running around. And it's so painful to watch half the time, but it's so important for them, yeah. You know, and no parents are around. And I just love that fact that it's just, you know, we're lucky we are in a cul-de-sac, so there's very little traffic and there's tons of eyeballs, not just mine, but my neighbors on either side of me and their neighbors on either side of them. Everyone knows the kids are outside and everyone's aware of what's going on, you know. But so let's hold out hope. But the kids, people going for ISIS, it's so weird. I mean, what it tells you is that there's a major moral vacuum in their lives that they're filling with something that seems to them to meet this need that they need to have this kind of, yeah, this weird kind of authority that I guess the parents aren't there for. I mean, you can be super involved in your kids' lives and not be a moral authority and not be a friend and not be in any way involved in your kids' lives, except as a chauffeur and boss, you know, who has like the schedule set up on a whiteboard that you have everything marked out. They're dueling lessons and they're juggling classes and stuff like that, you know, and bring them into each of those, you know, and then have, you know, organized times where you drop them off at a friend's house and then you pick them up from there and you bring them back home again, but never connect with them. Mm-hmm. You know, either you're on your phone or you're drinking your coffee or whatever. The kids just don't enter into your life in that way. They're just these things that you carry around with you to their important things that they need to do. So you can tell your friends that, you know, so-and-so was at dueling class today, or fencing classes or whatever, which actually Mary took fencing classes when she was younger for a while. She didn't seem that interested. So what's the point?
Well, you got to just randomly attack her with a sword and then maybe I should get better at those. Right.
But really, I'm just babbling because it's a hard question to ask. And I feel like
I'm asking it probably to start a conversation more than to finish a conversation.
I feel like parenting is, for me, is more intuitive than it is. Like, I didn't read Dr. Spock, you know, like I just avoided parenting books and stuff like that. I just went with my gut, you know, and I got what I got. Whether that's good or bad.
I think time will tell.
I
think universally people are going to say that that's good. Done on you.
In going with your gut or?
No, you with how things worked out with you, specifically with your kids.
Well, you know, time will tell, of course. I mean, I think I have wonderful daughters, but, you know, they're not fully there yet either. They're still bacon in the oven. That's so true. Aren't we all, frankly? That's true. That's true to a degree, but I think...
Except for Dave is a bit half-baked. Am I right, everybody? High fives to everyone in the room. High fives, everybody in the room.
All the ghosts. High five. Luckily, we have these high-fiving ghosts.
All the ghosts that have to get into their ghost vans and drive around so no one can go outside.
I just was reading about ghosting, but that's something different, I think.
What? Just tell me quick what that is.
Ghosting is when you just disappear from someone's life. So if you have a guy, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you decide that you don't want to be their boyfriend or girlfriend, yeah. You don't actually like say to them, you know what, we're going to break up. I'm not that happy in a relationship. You just, block them from Facebook or whatever, delete them on your Twitter,
yeah.
Stop returning their calls, yeah. just stop acknowledging them
right.
entirely.
Right.
You might even see them, but you just don't pay any attention to them.
Okay.
It's called ghosting. It's the new thing. It's the new thing the kids are doing.
I wouldn't mind it if you rattled some chains or something just to let them know that this is what's happening.
But it's one of those things. I was actually reading an article today about sitting in movie theaters. And it's one of those articles where you're reading it, and you, as you're reading it, you go, wait a second. This person's talking to their friends. These aren't actual like people off the street that they're talking to. This is just their friends and their experience of this. And you go, yeah, yeah, everyone has Italian names. And then you look at the person writing it, and they have an Italian name. In fact, their name is Italy with an IE. And you go, no, all friends. All friends in Jersey talking about going to movies. You needed an article. You talked to your friends, wrote it down.
I got a
and I'm reading in the paper.
I got a friend who works for, let's say she worked for a radio station that might be a Canadian broadcasting station that's part of a corporation. And so every week she'd have to do just interview a bunch of people on the street.
Yeah.
Man, I was that person a lot.
Did you have to change your voice? Well, I went to the store.
No, which is like, you'd think people would know, but they didn't care.
They didn't care
at all. So, it was a lot of like, we'd do a show and then it's like, I need lots of people. Come on outside. And we'd interview all of us with the topic. So I was on that show lots. I would try to change a little bit.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't like put on a big accent or anything. Just like, no dice.
It's weird. Because, was this an article about the paint? Like, I've never actually experienced this, but apparently there's like, arguing about where you're going to sit in a movie theater.
Right.
And there's some people who shall be named, and it's an Italian name, who like to move all over the theater and aren't happy with their seats right away, but have to sit here and sit there and finally settle down. Oh no, says this person whose name is Italian.
Yeah. Giuseppe says to Luigi.
These are all women. It's very important that I, test out what da, 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 da. And then other girl or other woman with an Italian name says, no, I like to sit down. It's just, I think I read about two paragraphs and I was like, okay, I've got it.
This is some bullshit.
That's right. This is a lot of space filler is what they call this.
They had a thing. Yeah.
Where's Luann?
There's a lot of bullshitty little articles that my bullshit meter is going off a lot lately. Like, I occasionally end up defending like the Vancouver Aquarium for various things because people say they're doing this. I know they're not, so they're not doing that. But there was a thing that that got some traction, which was there's a book called Goodnight Vancouver, and in the book it's like basically a Goodnight Moon thing, but it's like Goodnight Street Performers on Granville Island, Goodnight Harbor Center Tower, and it's like Goodnight Belugas at the Vancouver Aquarium, Goodnight Water Park. Okay, so apparently they cut the belugas out.
Oh.
And now it goes water park instead, which it didn't have a water park, but now water, which is weird now that where there's a drought, it feels like that's less appropriate. So that became a thing where like that broke as a little news story, in the Georgia Strait was like, they've cut this out of this because of the controversy. And they linked to the controversy, which is an article they wrote about the controversy, which actually doesn't have anything about anything. It's just like, it's controversial. And they link and that one to a different controversy, which is them again doing an article about this seems like there's some controversy and there's nothing, there's no there. But I was like, okay, this is strange. And so I kind of looked into it and found a couple of people who were going like, I bought this book like 5 years ago and this was gone then. It's like, okay, so it's not a news story. So they just brought it up that it's not a news story. And then finally someone else went, people pay to be in this book, right? That's how this works.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it's local businesses and things. And it's just like, give us a little coin.
Oh,
and
we'll so the put aquarium didn't want to pay for it anymore.
I guess so yeah. So it moved along. So it was like, but it was like this strong, but everyone was posting like strong ethical anti-captivity.
Yeah.
Blah, blah,
yeah.
And it's just like, and so on.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm saying some things online are not true.
Is that right? So what you're telling me is these ISIS stories are,
have you given ISIS a chance?
ISIL. Have you?
Don't be ISILing me out.
How many people have done this, by the way? Like how many kids have gone to, I heard of two girls in Colorado.
Enough that it's a news story. Well, they had four moms being interviewed in this one article. So, yeah.
I'm curious just to know like what the percentage of people who have, I mean, it would just be a normal percentage of people that would be interested, if you were interested in me and having me come over there to kill people, I would be into that because I have this urge to kill people. And here you're giving me an acceptable forum.
You don't say
forum.
It probably as like kill people. You go like to help us fight the revolution for this, and all the things.
Yeah,
that
yeah. But the person who's reading this is going, oh, here's my chance to kill people. I've been thinking about this for a long time. You know,
I've always wanted my chance to matter.
Yeah, I've wanted to be in the I've wanted to join the army, but they wouldn't let me in. I failed the psych test.
And someone I know, she wrote, and she's an older woman, but she wrote, you know, underneath it.
How old is she?
She's so old that she wrote this. She went like, you know, kids today really need need to give their heads a shake. You know, I think there should be some mandatory military service for all the children. Ooh. You know, 2 years of boot camp would straighten them out.
No.
I'm like, the opposite is true. And yeah. also, I yeah. was thinking like, if you gave me 2 years of mandatory boot camp,
yeah.
I would have fucked off out of the country. There's no way I would have done that. Are you saying 2 years of solid, yeah. the equivalent of like gym? Well, you know, the worst part of my life. You know, but also with that, also with guns,
with yelling,
also with yelling at me, and I gotta like live with these dudes.
Yeah.
Oh my God! No, I seriously.
Of course, it's Canadian Army. It's a little different, but
get up, maggot, please.
sorry, I called you maggot.
Sorry, I called you maggot earlier, but you're a maggot.
You syrup eating maggot.
Do some push-ups. The snow's too deep. I can't breathe. Too bad. You know, I would have seriously left the country. I couldn't do it. I would have like, ugh, no, in no way, shape, or form.
You're crazy. The sergeant comes out and goes, all right, moussettes, listen up. It's the problem with, well, actually, you know, this is going to sound terrible, but one of the problems with that kind of military service is that you want people to behave themselves, and yet you put them into a mix of people where there's people who are not behaving themselves. So you take these people that you think, oh, they're wrecking their lives. The only way to do this is to teach them some discipline and then put them with the most undisciplined, you know, hardcore partying, crazy people in the world. Let's just mix you all together. Let's mix the high with the low. This is going to be perfect. Let's put rich kids with poor kids and it's just going to be great. Everyone's going to get along. So, no, they're not going
to
get along.
And are you, I mean, again, I got nothing against the military, but it's like, are you telling me that the way to make kids think for themselves is to take away their choices.
Yeah.
And so, like, if we take away all their choices, then they're going to be prepared to... No, it seems like you're... What are you doing? That makes no sense whatsoever.
I remember when I was quite a younger man at this
time. How younger man were you?
I was so much younger then.
That I was peeing in a
field. I had acne.
Asking adults for leaves. Wait, I still have acne.
I was peeing in a field asking adults for what?
Leaves.
Leaves. Oh, kids. And kids these days, am I right?
Yeah, with their leaves and their peeing in the field.
With their leaves and their peeing in the field. Can I have a leaf? Is that comfortable? Hope I didn't get you poison oak here, because my hands are going to get itchy. I was staying at this bus stop, and there's this old lady, like, you know, an old lady, but she's one of those old ladies that, like, was having trouble getting old. Hmm. So she's, like, really old. Hmm. So, like, World War II old.
Right.
But she had, like, dyed hair. And like the most garish makeup on, like, you know, like the rouge, like two kabuki streaks on either side of her. And I was just standing there, just a kid, standing at a bus stop. And she started getting mad at me because I wasn't of this great generation that fought in World War II. And she's telling me this. You're nothing compared to the men who went and fought in World War II. Your generation is just, you know, going on like that. But what can you say?
Let me tell you what you say.
Oh, okay.
Your generation caused World War II. Are we just talking a generation?
I don't know.
Because if we're talking a historical period.
I don't think that's strictly true. I think it was the older folks that caused the war. The younger kids had to suffer for it. But
okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can say to someone like that. This is an old lady. What are you going to do? Push her over? Insult her?
Nope.
Listen, old dried up cunt. Fuck off. Like, what? Can you walk away proud? No. All you can do. You know stand what? There.
You were so close. Here's the thing.
Okay.
You, up until this point, were like, very, coming across great in this podcast.
Sure.
You're like, look, he takes kids out. He's so nice. He's like walking his dogs.
Yes.
He's raised these two daughters. Mm-hmm. He loves his daughters.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an old lady. He's concerned about her. You old cunt.
I said, you cannot say that. I did not say that to her. I just stood there
you dried apple doll. Why don't you blow away? Right.
Yeah, she did look like a porcelain doll that had aged terribly. Oh, but you know you can't say that.
No,
you just have to stand there and take it.
Well,
you know,
someone wants attention.
You're a young guy, and I don't know.
She wants some reaction.
Maybe she liked me. She thought I was good looking.
Yeah,
thought that was way into my pants.
That is a weird flirt.
Yes, very strange. It might have worked for her before. I don't know.
That's right. Oh, she's doing that thing that you do, which is the insult thing, and just like, hey, you're really
I'll prove to you.
I'll prove you're on the Greatest Generation, come in the alley with me.
Let me insert myself into your dried up old cunt.
Okay, but hey, before you do that, have you got any leaves? Because I really got to take a pee.
Let me just go to this tree down the street.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I want to say one thing to clear the pipes of, yes, of that before we end, okay?
Okay.
Did your daughters were too old for Frozen, right?
We saw Frozen.
You Frozen?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear about the theory? Well, not the theory, but the director has said who their brother is, that they've got now a brother. You hear about this? That's in another Disney movie? Okay. You know how their parents left?
Yeah.
And died, apparently?
Yeah.
No, says this director.
Oh, okay.
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Those parents went off and they became the parents of Tarzan.
No, it's stupid.
And they showed the parents from Frozen.
Yeah.
They showed the parents from Tarzan. They're the same parents.
Well, they all look alike, all those characters in Disney films.
I'm just saying
now.
What the director is saying is just
we'll be told next that Rapunzel's their sister because she looked exactly the same as those characters too. So yeah, F it. After I said cunt, I'm going to say F it, everybody.
I am so trying to clear. Listen, I'm thinking some people might still be like going, hey, I got Dave's resume here. And you didn't tell us what happened with that.
Oh, with my job.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it a little bit before we go.
All right, go for it.
Well, what's funny is that...
I was going to say, look at your resume and go, let's listen to his podcast first. Well, I think this fellow sounds upstanding and fantastic. He'd be a fine family man to work on this. Oh, well, oh, he likes the elderly. Oh, talking about them in the alley. Not so good.
You brought
shred.
That
red. Okay, go. So when we
I've
last
been tarred
left
by
you,
your brush. Tarred
you
by your
were,
brush.
You were doing PowerPoint presentations.
Yes, for a company I thought was suspicious. I think I said that, right? I made a point of saying that. I felt it was kind of... Hinky is the old
right.
word for it.
And the last time I talked to you, you had been up for more than 24 hours working on one of these PowerPoint presentations.
I did, because we did the show, and then I went home, and I worked on it through the night.
Because you're a hard-working fella.
Well, yeah. I just needed to get... Well, I'm also a hard-procrastinating fella, so I needed to get it finished. So.
Okay.
So I did that. I mean, because, you know, I was doing the show. I have to research Totally Tintin and get that stuff done. So, you know, I had things to do. So it is, yeah, I stayed up for over 24 hours doing that stupid thing. But then, I was just doing it because I thought, well, it could be a real job. I don't know. It feels kind of weird. How did I get this job? Like, I've never contacted anybody. No one's ever talked to me in person.
Right.
They've given me no direction on what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got a job description. And then you sent me this thing. It was called Scam Warners, I think it was called, which is a weird name. But, and I guess people go, they say, I received this email.
Right.
Is it real? And then this person investigates it for them and goes, fuck no. And so this is the same thing. So you send it to me and goes, is this the people you're involved with? Which it wasn't the same name, but it was so like it that I was like, oh, this sounds like it. So then...
I felt shitty sending it to you, but
that was fine.
Yeah, when you were talking about, this sounds suspicious, and it had something to do with student exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just went, student exchange, scam, which is basically what I used to do when I worked on Street Sense.
Oh, see, I should have done that.
Is this thing a scam? Let me enter this into the internet and see if the word scam appears next to, yep.
So I should have done that. I didn't even think of putting scam. I was thinking like, maybe I can do like a Hoosis search or whatever, but I don't know how to do it.
Ask Jeeves.
So...
and Jeeves goes, are they hiring? I'm like, oh, Jeeves is in bad trouble now.
My feeling as I was doing it was kind of, well, this is sort of like when I was selling encyclopedias. It's so dumb what I'm doing that I'm kind of enjoying this because it's just a weird...
Sure.
I'm just going to follow the string out, you know? I'm not putting... Even though I stayed up for a long time doing that one project, the reason I had to stay up so late was because I just didn't bother to do it until like the last minute. So,
right.
So I worked really quickly on that. Then I had to do this hostels and hotels research, which was interesting actually, researching hostels and hotels in Vancouver. What I learned is that there are some really nice hostels here in Vancouver, and then there's some really terrible places that you don't want to recommend people go to. Really terrible. Like places that you... think of like as being a biker bar,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, a hotel for people who are kind of transient, and then you're going to recommend those for backpackers? Mm-hmm. No, but you needed 20 hotels, so you put it on there. What the hell, right? So I just did this really quickly, and I sent it off. And then before I finished it, though, they wrote to me, and they said, students are coming. And here the other thing is terrible English in these texts that I would get from them. Mm-hmm. Students are coming. They're landing in Toronto, and then a group of them are coming to Vancouver. We're going to send you money through an e-transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay. So then I was like, oh, an e-transfer? This is kind of weird now. Something's even weirder. So I phoned my bank, and I said, okay, these people are offering, they want to get an e-transfer from me. Like, what risks am I putting myself to. And they said, well, actually very little, because the way it works is it's hard for them to, they have to go through so many, you know, passwords and stuff like that to get to you. It's not that much of a risk. So I went, oh, okay, well, let's see what happens then. So I sent, you know, I said, well, this is my email address and my bank is this. That's all they need, right?
Yeah.
So they sent me this email with this transfer. I went to do the transfer. It didn't go through.
Yeah.
It seems strange. So then I phoned my bank again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this didn't go through. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's check. Oh, it's blocked on their end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of weird.
Yep.
So then I just wrote to them and said, oh, there's a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, well, you have to change your email password.
Mm-hmm.
And da 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 da. And I was like, no, this is enough. I'm finished with you.
Yeah.
The game is done. So I said, well, I just didn't bother responding to that. And then I said, well, I'll just send off what I've done of this. I actually didn't quite finish it, but I thought, I'll just send it off now. So I sent it off the hotels and hostels and hotels research. And it never went through. It's like they canceled the email address. It's strange.
Hmm.
That's weird.
Here's all I was hoping, was that you'd send that to them and then they actually stay in one of those hostels and then they get stabbed. The end.
Yeah,
go, you've got the last laugh, Dedrick.
I have a feeling that they're in a totally different part of the world from us. But I don't know what their end game was. Like, I have no idea.
It seems like it's a multi-stage situation. Like, I would assume with that kind of scam,
yeah,
they give you the first, like, you probably would end up with that first batch of money. I bet you would.
Okay.
Like, your first batch of money would go through and you go, these guys are all right.
Okay.
So they give you the next task to do and they make you change a password or something. And then the next thing that they get you to do,
okay,
that's the thing that would fuck you up probably, or the next one after that.
Okay.
But yeah,
so when they didn't go any farther, they just went, oh, well, this is not working.
No, this is how you do that kind of scam. It can't be first thing, hey, buddy, this? You don't know that. Gotcha!
Yeah.
No, they can't be that. It's got to be, huh? Step. It's all working out.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do it. Now we trust each other. Now that we trust each other, and now that you're in so deep, why don't you give us this information about your bank? Oh, yeah, your bank needs, okay, we need to get this to your bank, but to get to your bank, we need your PIN number or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point,
yeah. I, you know, like I say, from the very get-go, I felt it was kind of weird.
Right.
But well, it's just one of those things where you're like,
And that's why I'm annoyed about it, because it was a waste of your time. And I know you're taking it in good stride, but I know there's people that really do fucking need money, right? You know, and I'm not saying that you're like Moneybags McGee and like, I can take it or leave it. But like, there's some people that are like, I need money.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend my time that I can't waste doing this. And then you end up fucking on this scamorama.
Yeah, I can see people who are desperate. They're very vulnerable.
And you know who they'll call those people? People who need money.
What's weird is that's the second scam in the a short amount of time. I haven't had scams. This is the first time that I've been like, people have been scamming me or attempting to scam me. I had the phone call about my tax fraud case.
That's right. They're going to help you out.
You know, I owed $2,500 that if I went to the bank and got $500 for them and mailed it to them, that would be perfect. But, and then these guys with this weird, very elaborate, apparently very elaborate scheme. I still don't quite see the end game. I suppose you're right. I suppose at some point they'd be like, you know, all you need to do is send us this amount of money so then we can free up these funds and da da da.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it would be something along those lines. Yeah. It would be something that you would have to do that by that point, you would have built up enough trust that you'd be fine. And you know what? I mean, this is the kind of thing that like older folks would fall for and younger folks would fall for. Like, I know I said it last time that I think your daughters would not probably fall for something along those lines. Mm-hmm. They would be, well, let's just immediately Google that and see how many reviews and this kind of thing is this and this and the other.
Well, what I'm dumbfounded is just how dumb I was to not just think of going student exchange services scam. And I should have thought of that right away.
No, you know why? Because you're an honest man, and an honest man doesn't think that people are going to scam him. You think like, so this is a job. Yep. Okay. Well, I'll do this work for you because there you go. Yeah. You know who would think it was a scam? Scammer. That's who thinks scam is a scam. And
that's the problem. I got to think more like a scammer.
Yeah. But I would say anything else that comes your way, run it by your daughters first. Yep.
What do they know?
More than you about the
I taught them everything they know.
I know, but not. But then that grew.
That's true.
I planted everything in this plant, in this seed. Yeah, now it's a huge plant, though. It went. It did stuff on its own.
They knew.
You ask them about this whole Tarzan thing. See if they think it's shit.
That's garbage.
Okay. See what they think you should have said to that old lady.
I said the perfectly right thing. I didn't say anything. I just said, okay.
No, you just pulled out a cigarette and just went, very interesting. So you think Savoy is over. Good. It's all working out according to plan.
That's right. I did a terrible stage German accent.
Tomorrow belongs to me. Oh, the bus is here. Good. Everyone get on the bus. Get on the bus!
Edelweiss. Edelweiss.
I find your ruse of Rouge appealing. You overuse. Do not blend like a common whore.
That's right.
You just got a stick.
It's, yes. I like those two gashes of rouge on your cheeks. Ah, chérie.
Wait, now he's French?
That's right. I'm going to go French.
All right, fair enough.
Let me take you to the Casbah.
Listen, everybody.
Let me take your dried up husk to the Casbah.
If you have been scammed, let us know about times you've been scammed.
Yeah, I'd like to hear some scam stories myself.
SneakyDragon.com is our website, and that's where we got our message board, so please let us know there.
Just so everyone knows, third time's a charm, so I'm still bound to lose a lot of money on something.
I think I know a job that you just got hired for, and hopefully it's not a scam because I'm involved with it.
Money laundering.
We are on. It's just laundering. Oh, we're going to do some laundry.
Some laundry.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
No, what you do is you check the pants and see if they put money in there first, and you take it out, and then we take it to the laundry.
That's what I do at home.
Yeah.
It's a good money. And money
if that
operation.
Works out, we're going to move you to couch cushions.
Sure.
So if we're also at Facebook at Sneaky Dragon on Facebook. We're also at @sneaky_dragon on Twitter. And if you'd like to email us, that is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Let me throw this out at you folks. Hey, it's shirt wearing season. Why not go to the Sneaky Dragon store and look at one of the delightful shirts designed by David Dedrick? He does a poster kind of card thing.
How do we call it? I had a name for it. Now I can't remember what
graphic?
It is. Graphic was good. No, I was thinking like a cover, like a...
Album cover? T-shirt cover?
Yeah, I don't know.
Coveralls? Are we doing coveralls?
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Blue jeans.
Dave designs shirts based on poster cards that he does every week on the show. So if you like the kind of art that Dave does, and who wouldn't, go and get a shirt made of it, and we'll send it to you. And if we send you a shirt, let me tell you this. This is our guarantee that is not a guarantee. We'll send you other stuff along with it. Maybe buttons and stuff. Yeah. Maybe candy. Probably not candy. It would smear all over your shirt. Not going to do that. It's a dumb,
especially this time of year.
Maybe hard candy.
The winters, it's okay, but
yeah, not we're not going to send you chocolate in the mail. Anyway, we just sent a bunch of shirts off, so those of you that are wearing our shirts, thank you for getting them. We're going to ask you a favor here, too. If you have ever been to iTunes and downloaded our show from there, there's a button that says subscribe. If you click on that subscribe button, then people know that you're listening to our show, and that helps us to get noticed on iTunes. If you write us a review, also a lovely thing. We're not going to demand that you say you like it, but it would be nice if you said something.
Yeah, especially after this show, you're bound to get great reviews.
Oh my gosh, why not? All of our controversial wig-wag curly-whirly discussions. Let me tell you that. Listen, I might actually put a curly-whirly bar in with the t-shirt.
Okay.
Let me say that much.
Okay. If you put a wig-wag, that'd be more impressive.
Yeah, because I have to travel back in time. Well, actually, I'd have to just like write the word wig-wag on the thing. And we are planning something for our 200th show. What it is, we do not know yet, but we will be doing something special for the 200th show.
Yeah.
When we know, we will tell you. And if it's a live thing, which it probably will be, we'll let you know how you can come to it if you're in the Vancouver area or you want to come to be in the Vancouver area. And if so, we will see you in person. I will not hug you. Dave might.
Why am I the hugger?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. You seem like the nicer guy. You go in the fields with children, walking dogs. I'm the angry loner in my office.
That sounded kind of bad. You like to go to fields with children. Yeah.
Just... No, it's not. Dave, you're outstanding in your field.
It's true. The kids love going for walks.
That's a dad joke.
I know. That's why I left.
Excellent.
I'm a dad.
I hope to hear from you guys online.
Super dad.
And thank you for spending all this time with us. We do really appreciate it. I appreciate it more than Dave, who's a little bitter about the whole situation. Also, if you've got an amazing job that isn't a scam, let Dave know.
That's right.
I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Edrick.
This has been his curriculum vitae. Is that what it is? Curriculum?
Sure, CV. Let's just say CV.
CV?
Yeah.
So that's his CV. So 10-4, good buddy. We'll be right back.
That's Wang Gumfuluk.
So this is me, right?
No, it was me.
90? Is it
92? 193.
193.
Yeah, 192 was last week.
Wow. Okay.
You're so out of it, man.